A map of Halloween Town morphs into a jack-o'-lantern, which morphs into a goateed man's face.
And now, a reading of the prophecy. And it shall come to pass at the close of the first millennium at the rise of the Halloween moon. A Cromwell of great power will embrace the gift. Marnie Piper is a Cromwell of the prophecy, the one we have waited for.
Green gargoyle bares its teeth, its eye glows red. A title appears, Return to Halloween Town. In her room at home, Marnie spells clothing out of her closet.
Keep, giveaway. Keep it, giveaway. Keep it, giveaway. Keep it.
Marnie.
Hey, Mom.
What is going on in here?
I decided to make a new start. I'm cleaning high school out of my closet. Well, actually, it's cleaning itself out. I'm just helping it make decisions. Did I buy that dress?
I bought that.
Oh, love it.
Gwen gives her a look. Marnie blows on her nails. In the kitchen, Gwen lifts the lid of a pot on the stove.
Mother, I just want to speak to her. Well, where is she?
Well, tell her. I just want to talk to her.
Mom, are you talking to Soup again?
Absolutely not. There's room for that in the garage.
Cool. Garage.
The box levitates, Marnie. Then falls.
What?
Stop with the magic.
You said no magic around Sophie.
And Sophie's gone.
Don't remind me. Traipsing around some other dimension, learning magic and doing spells. She's just too young.
Mom, relax. She's with Grandma Aggie.
Oh, and that's supposed to make me feel better.
Mom, the soup?
Oh, okay. Who wants soup?
Not me.
Well, we'll just let it simmer.
Lindy, yoo-hoo!
Marnie lifts the lid, revealing Aggie's image.
Oh, Marnie, dear, I thought the call was dropped.
No, we're right here, Grandma. Hello, Mother.
Oh, Gwenda, I want to go over one more thing with you before we lose contact.
Lose contact? Who's losing contact? Why are we losing contact, Mother?
Well, Sophie's training is progressing beautifully, but her interdimensional time travel needs a lot of work.
Must run in the family.
Her time travel messes up.
Mother, you're fading.
You won't be able to contact me. Be in touch as soon as I can. Oh, Marnie, congratulations.
Bye, Grandma. Man, the soup pot coverage in this area stinks.
Congratulations on...
What? I've been accepted to Witch University. I'm going to college in Halloween Town.
No, Marnie. We discussed this. You're going to community college for 2 years and then to state.
That's exactly what everybody here does. I'm not spending another 4 years with the same people.
Well, you're not going to spend it with a bunch of witches either.
What's wrong with being a witch? I'm a witch. You're a witch. I just want college to be different. Like you said,
college here will be different.
How? I'll still have to hide my magic because of a few people. I want to use it. I have powers nobody else has. Powers I haven't even discovered yet. I want to dig deep and find out who I am.
With all that power comes responsibility, Marnie.
You stole that from Spider-Man.
Outside.
Listen to me, Marnie. The world is... Not all magic is good, okay? There are some very bad witches in Halloween Town.
Mom, I know you want to keep me safe, but I'm 18 now. You can't control me anymore. I'm going to witch you.
Well, I won't pay for it.
You won't have to.
She conjures an apparition.
Hello, Marnie. My name is Dr. Luxana Goodwin, and I'm the Chancellor of Witch University. On behalf of the entire faculty, I want to extend to you a full scholarship. We would be proud to have a Cromwell at Witch University.
Marnie glances at Gwen.
I can't believe you would apply for a scholarship without even asking me.
I knew you'd never approve.
Marnie strides through the apparition. Gwen makes the apparition disappear. She crosses her arms. At night, in her room, Marnie opens a drawer. She takes out a pamphlet that reads, Witch University. She opens it. An apparition of a castle appears above the pamphlet's pages. Marnie and Dylan carry suitcases out of the house.
I don't think she trusts you.
I can go to college myself. Everyone else does.
Can't you make these bags grow legs?
Absolutely.
She shoves her suitcase into his free hand.
That's not what I meant.
She positions her hands above her head. She pulls her hands apart and conjures a circular portal of light.
Wait!
Gwen rushes out of the house. Marnie and Dylan turn.
So, do you have everything?
I think so.
I wanted to give you this.
She hands Marnie a gold bracelet.
It's a personal witch's glass. It only calls home. I mean, if you need anything.
Mom.
Come here. Oh.
They embrace. Gwen gives Dylan a hug as well.
Okay, you gotta get going now. Bye.
Marnie approaches the portal. She glances back at Gwen in the house.
I can't believe I'm really going to Witch University. I wonder how I'll be transported there. Maybe they'll send a train of black carriages driven by headless horsemen. Or maybe they'll send a flotilla of Spanish galleons to carry us across a misty lake.
Gwen waves from behind a window at the front door. Marnie and Dylan dematerialize as they step into the portal. They rematerialize in Halloween Town.
Or maybe they'll just send Benny.
Hey, kids, welcome back.
Hey, Benny.
We're not kids anymore, Benny.
Sister, to me, everyone's a kid.
A Benny.
What's that all about?
It's the millennium anniversary of Halloween Town. There's gonna be a celebration up at the castle on Halloween night. Big shindig.
Man, this is the perfect time to go to Witch University.
Yeah, perfect.
Dylan gets into the back seat of the taxi next to Marnie. Benny's cheekbones twitch as he drives off.
Okay, hey, kids, why did the skeleton stop for barbecue?
Why?
Because he needed some spare ribs, get it? Hey, what did the skeleton say when he jumped on his motorcycle? Bone to be wild!
They head down a thoroughfare.
Hey, it's the university!
Ah, ain't she beautiful?
Okay, that's pretty cool.
They drive up to Witch University's castle. Monsters in casual clothing stroll by a fountain.
Oh, this street is really marrow. Get it?
Benny pulls over. Marnie and Dylan climb out of the taxi. She stares up at the tower. Marnie walks off. Dylan takes something out of his back pocket. A monster pins up a flyer.
Enjoy your stay in Halloween Town!
Marnie climbs stone steps and spreads her arms.
Hello, University!
Hello, Marnie.
Dr. Goodwin.
Welcome to Witch University. And you are?
My porter.
Her brother. Hi, I'm Dylan.
Dylan, well, shall we?
Dr. Goodwin gestures and they enter a building. Outside, a stone gargoyle turns its head. Within its red eye, a series of doors open. In an office, the goateed man sits at a desk.
So the young Cromwell is finally here. Alert the members of the Dominion. By Halloween night, the prophecy will be fulfilled.
A nameplate on the desk reads, Silas Sinister, President, Sinister Industries. Candles burn around Silas. At school, Marnie grins. A woman with a flower crown and wavy blonde hair walks past. Marnie spots a student with the head of a pumpkin and a patterned shirt.
Sweet. My kind of people.
You mean witches and warlocks look just like us? Or are all those other weird creatures unburdened by magic?
I mean students, which you are not.
Dylan's mouth opens.
Hey, is that Ethan? Hey, Ethan!
Aren't you late for something? Like, your own life?
Ethan waves.
No kidding. But I promised Mom I'd help you move in.
Marnie makes the luggage levitate off the ground.
Show off.
Jealous. You know, your powers won't wait forever. You better use them before you lose them.
I prefer the power of my brain.
The magic is so much more fun.
Vecino beneficio.
As a man on a bench reads from a book, the luggage drops. Hey. Marnie and Dylan trip over it.
Dusty Venison?
He said Decino Beneficio.
You speak Latin?
Dylan stares at a trio of young women.
Want to translate that into an undead language?
No. It means no magic allowed.
In the dorms?
In the university.
What?
Didn't you read the handbook?
Yeah, I read the handbook. Refresh my memory?
The man comes over from the bench.
It says, use of magic on university grounds is prohibited. Use of magic to complete schoolwork will result in disciplinary action. Use of magic on or against any student, staff member, or professor will be grounds for immediate dismissal.
Good to know.
Insolent child.
He glares and stalks away.
Wow. Somebody needs more fiber in their diet. And I'm not a child.
Dylan approaches the trio.
Hi. I'm Dylan.
Hi. I'm not your type.
The haughty student makes her copy of the handbook disappear, then the trio leaves.
Hey, no magic allowed!
She speaks Latin.
Please, tell me you're not crushed on that.
Into a fine powder.
Time to go home, Dylan.
Not really.
Yeah, it is.
I'm staying.
That's funny, because it just sounded like you said you're staying.
I'm a student.
Where?
Here.
That's funny, because it just sounded like you said here.
Mom only agreed to let you go if I said I'd go too. I mean, trust me, I don't want to be here either.
Are you kidding me?
I gotta go find my dorm.
Dylan leaves. Marnie pouts and stares into the distance. Inside the school, Marnie kicks open a door to a spacious dorm room.
Fantastic. What a great room.
She sets down her bags. She reclines on the bed.
No magic in school? This is Halloween Town. It's supposed to be all magic all the time. I can't believe my mom sent my little brother to babysit me.
In a grocery store, Gwen opens her witch's glass bracelet. In her room, Marnie takes off the bracelet and throws it. In the store, Gwen shuts the bracelet. In the dorm room, an apparition of Aggie appears. Marnie blinks as Aggie's body solidifies.
Bracelet.
She summons it.
Grandma?
They hug.
What are you doing here?
Oh, visiting you at college, of course. Oh, I was hoping you'd get this room.
Where's Sophie?
Oh, she's touring the galaxy with some little green docents. No, I've seen it a million times.
I'm so glad you're here. I have so many questions to ask you.
And so little time. You know, your mother's on your side. Try to cut her some slack.
Okay.
Oh, dear. The solar flare is about to interfere with my slipstream. You must be very careful while you're here, dear. There are secrets. Things I should have told you.
Well, tell me now.
The apparition flickers.
Oh, there's no time.
Oh, Grandma!
I'm sorry, dear.
Aggie disappears into a gold light. Marnie frowns and takes off her bracelet again. She regards it. In the store, Gwen checks out.
What if she's not okay, and that's why she isn't calling?
I'm just not good at this.
Coupon?
Oh, right, here.
I'm a mom. That's what I do. That's what I've always done. I guess I just didn't realize they'd all fly off at once.
Gwen stares at the cashier, Jerry.
I have an empty nest.
Will there be anything else?
I just want my little birdies back.
She leaves. He watches her.
Ma'am, your groceries.
Gwen snaps her fingers and a packed grocery bag floats into her arms. She strides out. Jerry turns and grabs a microphone.
Meltdown Register 3.
At school, a red envelope slips underneath Marnie's dorm room door. Marnie crouches and picks it up. She opens it to see a note in gold script. It reads, "Please come see your resident advisor in room 13, signed with the letter A." In the hall, Marnie approaches a door.
Come in!
She pushes open the door to a bare room.
How's Zen?
She steps inside.
Hello? My name's Marnie Piper. I got your card, and I just...
A column of purple smoke engulfs her, and she disappears within it. Smoke returns to the spout of a bejeweled gold teapot. Inside, the smoke deposits Marnie into a fully furnished room.
Holy smokes! Marnie. I'm Anissa, your resident advisor.
My resident advisor is a genie?
The first to be accepted to which university? My parents are very proud. Tea?
Yes, thank you.
But anyway, I invited you here to talk about you. Any questions about the school?
Yeah, what's with the three style slaves that patrol the commons?
Sinister sisters.
Well, I mean, they're a bit snippy, but...
Sinister's their real name. Scarlet, Sapphire, and Sage. Oh. Sinister. Their father's a very rich and powerful warlock. They rule the school.
In the cafeteria, someone hands Scarlet, Sage, and Sapphire red food trays.
Our specials today are monster mash with pig's wings, dung beetle salad, nude side gravy, and succotash a la scorpion.
Thank you.
Marnie and Anissa walk past a counter of food. A meal appears on Scarlet's tray.
Hey, if magic is illegal, how come they get to use it?
They're not. Some guys will do anything for Scarlet and her sisters, even if it's illegal.
Two boys spell food onto Sage and Sapphire's trays.
Teacher!
A stern man in a bow tie eyes the boys.
Don't they have any self-respect?
Ethan reaches past her for a cookie.
Hey.
Hey.
Anissa raises her eyebrows.
Wow, that's quite a vocabulary you guys got there. I can hardly keep up. Marnie, this is?
Ethan Dalloway.
You two know each other.
Marnie's eyes shift. Anissa glances at Ethan.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry, you know, for everything.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, it must be really difficult dealing with your father's exile.
Yeah, but your grandma's been great, though. I actually worked for her over the summer, helping her collect her gnarlier potion ingredients. Snake spit, frog phlegm.
We get the picture.
Ethan gestures.
You guys want to sit down?
Yeah.
They join him at a long cafeteria table.
So, do you have your class list yet?
Yeah, I've got History of the World, Magic and Mortal, magic themes used in classic literature, you know. Pretty normal college classes. So, what's up with this no magic rule?
It's new. Students used to be required to use their magic in classes.
But that was when Witch University was for witches only. No monsters or mummies or genies allowed.
When did it change?
Last year.
Who's the dork that changed it?
You are.
Me?
When you opened the portal between the worlds permanently, a lot of kids from Halloween Town went off to college in the mortal world.
Why would they do that?
Why would anyone want to go off to college? Get away from mom and dad. Far away.
A world away.
Witch University needed more students, so they opened enrollment to non-witches. That's how I got in. Because of you.
No, I mean, it's great, but why no magic?
To level the academic playing field.
It wouldn't be fair if witches could use magic to do coursework and the rest of us had to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, but look around. Some of us aren't following the rules. The Sinister Sisters, those guys, they're using magic.
Yeah, but first they make sure no faculty member is watching.
That's rule number two. Do all the magic you want, just don't get caught.
Elsewhere, Gwen hammers an Unreal Realty sign into a lawn.
There. All I needed was a job. Ah, my nest isn't empty. It's full of potential.
She stands on the porch.
Hi, I'm Gwen Piper, real estate agent of this real estate. So if you have any questions at all...
What a dump. I mean, the front yard is totally a mess. I mean, would it kill somebody to rake or leaf or two?
A couple steps inside. Gwen glances around and lingers in the doorway. She waves her hand in a circular motion. A pile of fallen leaves on the ground return to the branches of a tree. Gwen smirks and goes inside. In a classroom at Witch University, an elderly instructor looks through stacks of books on a desk.
I really should tidy up now. Where are you hiding?
Befuddled.
Yeah.
Discombobulated.
I've overflummoxed.
Flummoxed it is. Professor Peerwinkle's most definitely flummoxed.
She's a dead ringer for Grandma.
She grabs a book from the bottom of a stack, which falls, then freezes.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
She writes the stack with a wave of her hand. Two students exchange a look.
That'll be our little secret. Now, I seem to have misplaced my collected works of William Shakespeare.
Scarlet spells Dylan's book into her hands.
I have a copy, Professor.
Oh, lovely. extra credit for being well prepared, Miss Sinister.
Scarlet smiles and turns. Marnie gapes. Scarlet struts back to her seat behind Marnie. Later, outside.
It's not fair. She takes my book, breaks the no magic rule, and gets extra credit for it.
Hey, Scarlet, I was wondering if you'd like to help out with the Millennium Celebration Culinary Committee.
You're drooling.
Oh, only when I'm around food or think about food or food-like substances. It's a genetic condition, nothing to be ashamed of.
Scramp, snuck, boy.
Scarlet's sister spells a troll into the air. He lands and snot falls out of his large nose. The sinister trio leaves.
Are you okay?
She called you Snot Boy.
Oh, she just can never remember my name. It's kind of a hard one.
What is it?
The third.
Yeah, that's a toughie. Yeah. How come there's never a teacher around to see them use magic?
He shrugs.
Thank you. Everyone's been very kind.
Apparently not everyone.
Marnie eyes the backs of the Sinister Sisters as they saunter away. In class, Marnie and Anissa stop in a doorway. Ethan waves them over.
Ethan.
They join him. Scarlet eyes Marnie.
I'm sure.
My name is Dr. Ichabod Grog. You will address me as Sir or Dr. Grog. Not Grog, Dr. G, G-Dog, or G-Units.
The man from the bench, Dr. Grog, smiles.
On the desk before you, you will find a single sheet of paper. I require an essay to ascertain your familiarity with the entire history of the worlds, both mortal and magical. You may begin.
Scarlet's sisters uncap pens. Anissa writes on a sheet of paper. Dr. Grog looks down. Scarlet blows on her pen, and it glows red. Scarlet sets the pen on her paper. It writes by itself in neat script. Marnie glances back and sees the pen. Scarlet winks at Marnie, then smirks as Marnie turns back to her paper. Dr. Grog looks up. Scarlet grabs the pen and takes over writing. She releases the pen as he looks away. It writes rapidly. Scarlet stands with her finished paper.
Thank you, Miss Sinister.
She hands him the paper and goes to the door. Anissa rolls her eyes. Scarlet waves her hand towards Marnie. Scarlet leaves. More and more students rise to hand in their papers. Later, Marnie sits in the room alone. Marnie stands and brings over her paper to Dr. Grog.
Dr. Grog, sir, I think we got off on the wrong foot, and I just wanted to say...
Stop! Explain yourself.
That isn't my paper. I wrote a full page. It was thoughtful, well-organized, and concise.
Something appears to be missing. The words, perhaps.
That witch hexed my paper!
He holds up her paper and blows across the blank surface. Writing appears.
It appears someone did use magic on this assignment.
Ha! See?
What I see, Miss Piper, is that you were in possession of a hexed essay. There will be a thorough investigation, and there will be consequences.
On a staircase.
I can't believe it. Scarlet did that. We should make her disappear.
Maybe she's just jealous.
Ethan walks beside her.
You're ranting.
Why in the world would Scarlet Sinister be jealous of me?
Look.
She narrows her eyes. He looks to either side, then conjures a bouquet of flowers.
That's so sweet.
Marnie Piper, you're wanted in the Chancellor's office. Now!
Alrighty then.
Marnie leaves Ethan with the flowers. She glances back at him. In an office.
Dr. Goodwin, I know why I'm here, and in my defense...
Marnie, you're not in trouble.
I'm not? How weird.
Tea?
A tea service appears. Cups and saucers appear in their hands.
Thanks. So... can we find out who hexed my essay?
Some spells leave a genetic fingerprint, but this one was too common. Could have been anyone.
Dr. Goodwin gestures, and they sit.
So, how are you adjusting?
Honestly, I came here to learn alchemy and amulets, potions and portents. I mean, can't you offer an elective just for witches?
You didn't read the handbook?
I skimmed.
When this school was first established, an enchantment was placed on the campus. All spells cast at Witch University become permanent at midnight on Halloween.
You mean permanent?
Indeed. And for many years, it was a fine deterrent. Until we had a small mishap.
How small?
A simple magical housekeeping lesson went horribly wrong. Half the freshman class had to be sent home as teacups.
Marnie's eyes cross as she lowers the teacup from her lips.
I'm just disappointed. I mean, I came here to learn how to be a great witch. Like you.
Marnie, you will learn more about yourself here than you ever imagined. We are late for your next class.
We?
They walk towards a group of students by a stone wall.
Good. The class is all here.
But, no classroom.
Adaperio perplexio!
A light appears and makes the stone wall disappear. Dr. Goodwin leads the group onto a dig site.
This is the old castle dungeon. It's usually off-limits, but this year we've selected a few of you for a very special educational opportunity. You will spend this semester unearthing the treasures of a millennium of Halloween town history buried beneath this castle. 3/4 of your grade will be based on your personal discoveries here. You will be supervised in your work by our own expert in all things historical, Dr. Ichabod Grog.
The fossil himself.
Dr. Grog stands behind Marnie.
He's right behind me, isn't he?
Yeah.
1,000 years ago, this school was built on the ruins of Miss Piper's ancestral home, Cromwell Castle.
The chipped stone slab reads Cromwell.
I will instruct you all in the manual arts of archaeological recovery and identification.
I expect great things.
Please, gather round, sir.
They stand around a hole.
At any archaeological site you will ever encounter, these are the tools of the trade you will use.
Marnie peers into the hole. A light pulses from inside. Marnie staggers back.
You must be so curious what's down there.
What?
What? Priceless family heirlooms. Buried treasure. I'm just here to learn like everybody else. But we're not like everyone else.
You heard what Goodwin said. What we find here determines our grade.
We're witches. We have powers, which would be unfair to use.
What's unfair is having our magic bottled up like this. I don't know about you, but my fingers are just itching to zap some nasty old Cromwell antiques out of that hole.
Scarlet eyes Dr. Grog, then summons a skull out of the hole.
Ew.
Dr. Grog, look what I found.
Scarlet smiles smugly at Marnie. She tiptoes past her and brings the skull to Dr. Grog. Marnie spots something. The same light pulses inside. She stumbles back as the room shakes. Loose rock falls into the hole from above. An ornate box levitates out of the hole on a beam of golden light. It soars high into the air. The box lowers into Marnie's hands. Dr. Grog pushes Scarlet back and hurries over.
S. Cromwell?
Cat's soups.
He dusts off the box with a brush.
How do I open it?
Use a key?
Where is the key?
Don't look at me.
Outside, Dylan runs over to Marnie.
You just had to show off.
What?
You used magic in class. It's all over school. You could be expelled.
I didn't use magic. Tell them, you guys. I didn't use magic to dig at that box.
Sorry, Marnie, but it didn't look good.
Yeah, the whole air-shaking beam of light thing.
The box landed right in your hand.
But I didn't do anything. It just came to me like it wanted to be with me. Like it belonged to me.
Anissa and the troll exchange a look. In a parlor, Silas stands before several cloaked figures.
And now, a reading of the prophecy. And it shall come to pass at the close of the first millennium at the rise of the Halloween moon. A Cromwell of great power will embrace the gift, and all the world will find peace under her dominion. Marnie Piper is a Cromwell of the prophecy, the one we have waited for.
And I am happy to report the child has found the ancient box
which contains the gift.
Soon, we will rule Halloween Town.
Or not.
Girls!
Hi, Daddy.
Come in, come in. You have made me so proud. I heard how you lured the Piper Girl into using her magic to bring forth the box. Well done. Now, you must get her to open it.
Yeah. Listen, that's not gonna be so easy. This Marnie chick is super tough.
She's just so goody-goody. Why don't you just open the box, Daddy? Everybody knows you're super powerful.
Silence!
Grog lowers his hood.
Only a Cromwell may unleash the power!
Grog! Honey, Marnie Piper has to open the box for the prophecy to be fulfilled.
Oh, yeah, but if she has to use magic, there's no way.
Goody, goody, remember? Yeah, she, like, follows the rules.
Then we must work together, girls. We must tempt her to break the rules. She must use her own magic to open that box. Do you understand?
Scarlet scowls.
Whatever.
In a laundry room, Marnie carries a basket of clothes. She eyes the basket.
This is gonna take forever. Maybe I could just...
She moves to snap her fingers.
Nah.
She opens a washing machine. Gwen's image floats on the water.
Don't do that to me!
I'm sorry. I hadn't heard from you, and I wanted to make sure you were all right.
I'm fine, Mom. Dylan's Dylan, but he's fine, too.
Oh, good. I'm fine. Really. I'm fine.
Mom, you can't do this to me. I get caught using magic, I could be expelled.
What? Expelled? Sorry, I just knew that I'd find you here.
You knew I'd be doing my laundry? Are you spying on me?
No. When I was in college, I did my laundry on Wednesdays, too.
Great. I'll be expelled for being predictable. Mom, do you know anything about a family heirloom? Some silver box?
Silver box?
Yeah, it's ancient and filthy and...
Ethan enters.
Man, does it need washing.
Mom!
Gwen looks in a toilet.
Wait! I love you!
A couple stares.
Yup. I love this plumbing. It's really good plumbing. I can't get enough of it.
With Marnie.
Am I saying what I think I'm saying?
Yes, Marnie, you've spotted the elusive guy doing his own laundry.
A rare creature indeed.
Ethan shrugs.
So, you want to just zap this stuff clean and go get a cup of coffee with me?
I was just accused of using magic when I didn't. I'm not about to be accused of using magic when I did.
I have no idea what you just said, but you looked really cute saying it.
Why don't you just use your magic?
What magic would that be?
You know.
Marnie gives him a pointed look.
We're not talking about laundry anymore, are we?
Marnie Piper, meet the Chancellor at the dig site.
Sorry.
Chancellor really needs to get a cell phone.
Rain check on the coffee?
And the magic.
She grins and leaves. He glances around and peeks into her machine. At the dig site, red energy surrounds the silver box. Dr. Goodwin waves her hand over it, and the energy disappears. She picks it up.
It's beautiful.
She attempts to open the lid. Marnie furrows her brow and tilts her head.
Let's open it.
Small problem. There's no key.
Piffle! That's what magic is for.
Are you kidding?
I'm Chancellor of this university. If I say it's okay, then it's okay.
Is this a trap?
Marnie! You're young. You're a witch. Have a little fun.
Don't have to tell me twice. Or three times.
Marnie squeezes her eyes shut and snaps her fingers. She tries to open the box to no avail. Dr. Goodwin raises her eyebrows as she observes. Marnie sets the box on a table and sits in front of it. She waves her hands over it in a circular motion. A blue light glows. Marnie wiggles her nose. A gold light glows. The box remains closed. Marnie folds her arms. She closes her eyes and nods. A purple light glows, then fades. The box stays closed. Marnie shuts her eyes and red light appears. Behind her, Dr. Goodwin touches the bridge of her nose. Marnie rests her cheek on her hand as she regards the box.
Open sesame?
Well, that was a bust.
At night, Anissa and Marnie sit on the steps of the university.
Goodwin actually asked you to...
Shh!
Use magic to open the box?
Yes. I couldn't believe it, but nothing worked. Nada.
Why didn't she open it?
She said it belonged to a Cromwell, so only a Cromwell could open it. If only I had the key. Hey, you think maybe you could do that smoky thing and just take a peek inside?
Anissa shakes her head.
That only works with my own lamp.
Shoot. S. Cromwell would know where the key is. I wonder what the S stands for anyway. My grandma would know. She knows everything about Halloween Town. I wish I could talk to her. I don't know where she is. I don't know when she is.
In Professor Periwinkle's class.
So, what do Shakespeare's characters in Midsummer Night's Dream teach us about love?
Well, Helena knew her boyfriend was a jerk, but she loved him anyway.
Only because that freaky little fairy cast a magic spell on them.
Fairy turns and glares.
Fairies are not freaks.
Sorry. I'm just saying it's not love if he's forced to like her.
Maybe she likes controlling him.
But you don't control someone you love. That would be a nightmare, not a dream.
That's a wonderful discussion, students. All right, we'll pick this up on Monday. Have a lovely weekend, all.
The other students leave. Marnie puts a bag on her shoulder and approaches the instructor.
Professor Periwinkle?
Yes, dear.
Do you think I could talk to you sometime?
In a dark office.
This is your office?
Oh, it's larger than it appears.
Lights turn on and a door opens into a larger office. Professor Periwinkle grins as they step inside.
This is wonderful.
The older woman conjures fire.
So you obviously don't adhere to the no magic rule in here.
Oh, heavens, no. I refuse to sign that pledge. What is it you kids say these days? Not gonna let the man keep me down?
We kids haven't said that for a while.
Periwinkle offers tea.
What is it, dear?
It's just... you remind me of someone I really miss right now.
Well, you're welcome here anytime.
They sit across from each other.
So, how is your grandmother?
You know my grandmother?
Our family have been friends since before Halloween Town existed.
Well, do you know an S. Cromwell? A Susan or a Sarah or...
Splendora. I wondered when you were going to ask about her. I haven't heard that name in years.
So, you know her?
Oh, yes, I knew her a very long time ago.
You're not about to tell me Splendora is you, are you? Because I'm having a very strange Star Wars moment.
A can waters a plant.
Splendora was my friend. We met in the early days of Halloween Town.
Well, what can you tell me about her?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I've said too much already. Now, I made a promise to keep Splendora's identity a secret.
But you can tell me. I can keep a secret.
No, it's too soon. You're simply not ready.
Not ready for what?
When you can answer that yourself, you'll be ready. Now, I'm sorry, Marnie. I can say no more.
In his room, Dylan combs his hair in a mirror.
Amo, Amas, Amat, Scarlet, me amate. I gotta change that ringtone. What?
Dylan, I need your help.
Outside, near a gate.
What took you so long?
I was in the middle of something. I have a date tonight, okay?
Is that cologne?
Too much?
Just a tad.
Where are we going?
This way. Just stay downwind.
They approach doors near a sign that reads, Library.
Ever wonder about our family history?
They enter.
Here's the place to find out about it.
Books sit out on tables.
History of the Cromwells, Little Cromwell Women, Cromwell's Inferno.
All of these books are about our family.
Yeah, I caught the theme.
One of them has to tell us who Splendora Cromwell was and what she locked in that box.
Just give me a minute.
A minute? Okay, I know you're fast, but I mean...
I'm more than fast. I'm magic.
Did you just use the M word?
I use magic to speed read, okay?
Not here, but in high school.
No wonder you skipped a grade.
It's the only thing I use my powers for, I swear.
But the rules.
Oh, okay. I won't use magic to read.
He picks up a large book and drops it on a table. They sit. Marnie watches him open to the first page. She rolls her eyes.
Okay, just do it.
Dylan shuts the book and holds out his hand. A book flies off a shelf. Words float through the air and surround them in a whirlwind of text and pages. He lowers his hands. His eyes move back and forth. A phrase strikes Marnie's arm and disappears. Dylan's eyes dart faster. He hunches forward and the whirlwind stops.
I know it's in the box.
Outside.
What? What's in the box?
Power.
What kind of power?
The magical power.
Favorite kind.
Inside that box is power called the gift, capital G. It's a magical power that the rich in Halloween Town has. 1,000 years ago, Splendora Cromwell locked the gift inside that box and buried it.
And?
And nothing, that's all I know. There were...
He spots Scarlet.
Pages missing.
Dylan leaves Marnie. He stares at Scarlet over a balcony.
Me amo.
Scarlet struts across the grass. Marnie follows Dylan as he goes after her. He runs to catch up as Scarlet climbs a set of stairs.
Hey. Hi. Scarlet. We had a date, remember?
Sorry, it doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, you don't remember, that's okay. I'd like to buy you dinner.
And I'd really like a unicorn for a pet, but that's not gonna happen either.
Is it Toad?
Hey, you can't talk to my brother like that.
Oh, yes, she can. Talk to me like that, or any way you want, actually. Maybe I could help you and your sisters with your homework. Scarlet.
Scarlet takes a dark-haired boy's arm.
Let's go, babe.
In the parlor, Dr. Goodwin stirs a cauldron.
In a moment, she will appear in the cauldron.
The siblings' images float on the green liquid.
Don't say anything.
Dylan!
I don't want to talk about it.
But something needs to be done. She's using her powers to terrorize the whole school.
That's what people with powers do. They wield them. Just leave it alone, Marnie.
No! After what she did to you, I want to crush her into a fine powder.
He eyes his watch.
Relax. It's Mom.
Gotta change that ringtone. Dylan, you're there.
Where else would I be?
Are you all right?
Gwen leans over a filled sink.
Still a dork. Still dateless.
Dylan, hang on a sec.
Now, sweetie, your father and I thought you and Princess could just share a room.
Princess needs her own room.
Okay, Cupcake. We'll just keep looking. After all, this is just a two-bedroom.
Gwen expands the floor space.
Did I say two-bedroom? Oh, no. This is a large three-bedroom. Go look.
The family steps away. Gwen waits, then leans over the sink.
Dylan, how's Marnie? She sounded a little distracted when I talked to her.
Marnie makes slashing gestures.
She's there with you right now, isn't she?
Yeah, put her on.
Marnie takes Dylan's wrist.
Hey, Mom, I've got a ton of reading to do, so I gotta run. Bye!
You shut the pumpkin on Mom!
I can't lie to her, and I can't tell what's going on here.
Why not?
The last thing Mom wants me to have is more magic.
She strides off.
Marnie, whatever's in that box was buried for 1,000 years, and I'm getting a feeling it's supposed to stay that way.
In the parlor.
Time is running short, and her brother is becoming a problem.
Then we must use him. Make him part of the solution.
But he's her family.
That just means she will do anything to save him. Trust me.
In her dorm room, Marnie sits at a desk with her shoes off. She draws a picture of the silver Cromwell box.
Hey, Rapunzel!
She sets down her pencil and goes to an open stained glass window. Ethan stands below.
Too bad. I just cut my hair.
How's the studying going?
I wasn't studying. I was doodling.
Popular class, doodling.
Yes, it's very difficult. Dexterity and all that.
He nods and leans to one side.
Think you could take a doodling break tonight? Say, like, 8 o'clock?
I don't know. I have a doodle final on Monday. But, okay.
Great. We'll see you tonight then.
He walks off. She moves back into her room at night. Marnie sits alone on a bench by a set of stairs. Ethan shakes out his hands before stepping over to her.
Hey.
Hey.
I thought we were past that.
We are, definitely.
So, it's a beautiful night.
Yeah, perfect for flying, right? Too bad we don't have a broom.
Yeah, I love flying. My favorite thing about being a witch.
Mine too.
He touches her shoulder and goes into some nearby greenery. He pulls out a broomstick.
Ethan, it's beautiful.
It was a gift from my dad from before.
We couldn't, could we?
Technically, we would be off campus.
You're right.
You first.
He holds out the broomstick to her. She touches it, and a handle uncurls into place. She beams as it floats up. She mounts the broomstick while Ethan stands to the side.
Get on.
I don't know.
Okay.
He climbs on behind her.
I'm gonna regret this.
They rise into the air.
Hold on!
Three.
I got it.
Sparks drift off the end of the broom as they fly above the school. Marnie steers them close to the school's rooftops. The wind rustles through their hair. They both look below as they fly around the top of the school. Marnie glances back at Ethan and grins. They soar away from the school and over a darkened forest. Ethan releases her and holds out his arms to either side. She guides them across the treetops and into town. They slow as they near the ground.
Woo.
Their feet touch the ground.
Wow, that was great. How about some ice cream?
Sure, sounds great.
In an ice cream shop, a waiter with a blue and white frosted head ice skates to Marnie and Ethan's table. He blows over the tray to make two sundaes appear. He serves them.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Marnie eats a spoonful of ice cream.
Healthy appetite. I like that, my girl.
Thanks for getting me out.
Somebody needed to save you from all that doodling.
Yeah, I've been kind of obsessed with that box that I found in Grog class.
She sees Dylan with the sinister girls.
Oh, great.
Like, scary handsome. And super scary handsome.
Thank you.
You're super welcome. So my physics test is like take home. Lucky, huh? And my psych essay has to be 500 words. I already have the title. Mortal. Why are they so totally boring?
Marnie, wait.
Clever.
Mm-hmm. You're cute when you're thinking. I can almost see the little tiny gears grinding in your head.
Get away from my brother.
No, don't get away.
Oh, relax, Mom. It's just doing some tutoring.
Did you just call me Mom?
Yes, she did, so stop acting like her.
Dylan, get up.
No.
Ooh, you tell her, Dilly.
Dilly?
Maybe you should start on my book report now.
Yeah, Dilly. Okay, what'd they use on you, hmm? A love potion? An adoration amulet?
He offered to help us, remember?
Okay, hexed pens are one thing, but how could you use magic on my brother?
We can risk using our own magic to do homework. Besides, I wouldn't call this magic.
Really? What would you call it?
Cheating.
Let him go.
Scarlet stands and glares at Marnie.
Make me.
One of her sisters smirks.
You didn't have the power to control me, do you? Not even close.
Marnie's face falls. Scarlet saunters off, shoving her shoulder. Dylan rises.
Wait up, ladies.
He follows them with books and a loaded backpack. Marnie turns to Ethan.
Dylan! Dylan!
Outside the ice cream shop.
could they disappear that fast?
Witches.
She marches away.
Marnie, wait.
They could be casting another spell on Dylan as we speak.
To make him do what? More math? He loves math.
She readies the broomstick.
Are you coming or not?
He mounts the broom behind her. They rise into the air. The sparks at the end of the broomstick increase in a burst.
What's going on?
I don't know. What's happening? Something's not right.
What do you mean not right?
They jerk back and forth and flip, hanging from the handle. They fly between tree branches and tumble to the ground.
Hello, landing gear.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
The broomstick morphs into a snake.
There it is.
Wait. Oh, I can't believe it.
The broom's a snake.
Marnie's eyes shift.
Scarlet jinxed our broom.
I think she set us up. I mean, she knew where we'd be. She knew we'd have my broom.
You mean she's spying on us?
Or somebody's doing it for her. Come on.
He takes her hand.
What are you doing?
Taking a moonlit walk with a beautiful girl. It's a long way back to campus.
We just crash-landed on a broom that grew a forked tongue. How can you be so calm?
Having a near-death experience is strangely comforting.
Daytime. At school, the troll faces a crowd.
As you know, next week is a very special Halloween. The 1,000-year anniversary of Halloween Town. And the big celebration is going to be right here at Witch University. Yeah. Now, may I just say that I am just so privileged to be a citizen of this great big magical world of ours. Oh, man. I promised myself I wasn't going to cry.
Someone hands him a tissue.
Here you go.
Ethan holds his shoulder.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Just got swept off my feet last night.
Sage, have you ever talked to that loser again? I'm gonna cut you off, I swear.
Why doesn't Marnie just cast a spell to stop Scarlet?
She can't. It's the one power witches don't have. They can't completely control somebody else.
But the Sinister Sister spell is controlling Dylan.
Well,
not really. They can't make him do something they never do. Your spell just amplified Dylan's own desires. He's doing what he wants to, he just can't stop.
Anissa grimaces as they watch Dylan follow the sisters.
I can't watch.
Ethan touches Marnie's back.
My family was a goat. So, who wants to be the first volunteer? Marnie Piper! Come on up here, girl.
Ethan pushes Marnie forward.
So good to see you.
Drooling.
The troll wipes his mouth.
Sorry.
In Goodwin's office.
Perhaps we've been unclear. Do you girls realize what's at stake here?
Personally, I'm a little fuzzy.
We have only a few days until Halloween. But if you can get Marnie Piper to assume the Cromwell gift, we, my lovely daughters, and all the witches of the Dominion, will use her power to rule Halloween Town.
But...
No buts. We must get her to open the box and assume her gift.
We're trying. Seriously.
Then we need to try harder. Seriously.
At the dig site, the Sinister Sisters show off their finds.
We dug all these things up with our bare hands. Totally wrecked our manicures. I tore a cuticle.
Are you okay?
Dr. Goodwin walks over to Dr. Grog.
Are you sure about this?
I've tried everything else. If she thinks she's doing something noble, she'll do anything we ask.
What a wonderful presentation! A plus, my dears! A plus! No, no, our time is up. Something to look forward to for next time. Class dismissed!
Marnie follows after Scarlet with her arms crossed.
I bet Dilly dug that scroll up for you. Just like he took your psych exam and wrote your physics paper.
Marnie Piper, please stay.
What now? I didn't bring up that thing from the dirt, and neither did Scarlet. Did you see her fingernails? They're perfect. Those Sinister Sisters use magic all the time, but do they get expelled? No. They get A++, my dears, and that's just wrong.
You're right.
I'm right. I'm right?
Yes. And I promise you I'll deal with them soon. But right now we have something much more important at stake. Something only you can help us with.
Really?
Open it.
As Ethan eavesdrops behind a wall, Marnie unrolls a cloth scroll. A border with a blonde woman's portrait shimmers around the text.
I don't understand.
You're special, Marnie.
Well,
upon this scroll is an ancient Halloween Town prophecy. It speaks of a powerful Cromwell who will bring peace to our world forever.
And you think that's me?
Marnie, not all magic is good magic. There are dark forces at work in Halloween Town.
On Halloween night, here at Witch University, dark forces will try to shatter the peace and tranquility of our millennial celebration.
You alone can save our world.
Dr. Goodwin lifts the box.
Fulfill your destiny, Marnie. Find the key to this box. Embrace your gift. And Halloween Town will continue to exist in peace.
Wow. No pressure or anything.
Now go. And trust no one.
Grog catches Marnie's eye. She leaves with the box. Ethan's gaze shifts. Later, he exits the building. He approaches the stone gargoyle.
Hello, boys. Now, I know that you've been spying on Marnie Piper.
The gargoyle shakes its head.
I just need to know who has been paying you for your services and why. Spill it. These babies are all yours.
He holds out two hamburgers. A second gargoyle to the side nods in a school hallway.
Marnie.
I have to talk to Dylan.
Just stop for 1 second.
If he's still under Scarlet's spell, he won't want to talk to me.
They reach a door numbered 8.
Fine, I'll try. Dylan. It's Ethan. Dude, open up. Dude.
They step inside.
What is going on?
4 papers, 2 exams, 3 book reports, and a speech with visual aids. I gotta get back to work.
Of course you do.
Don't try to stop me.
Wouldn't dream of it.
I can't disappoint Scarlet. Or Sage. Or Sapphire.
Who's that?
My mother.
Marnie grabs Dylan's watch. At the open house, Gwen talks into a birdbath.
Where's Dylan? Studying his brains out.
Oh, good.
Are you okay? Everything's going to be fine, Mom.
Going to be fine. What is going to be?
We're fine, Mom.
Call it mother's intuition or witch's worry, but I realized that it was a bad idea sending you two off alone to Halloween Town.
Mom!
I thought maybe I could just pop in for a visit.
No, why?
Oh, because I want to see you. Why can't I come and visit?
Man, you can't trust me for 1 second, can you?
That is not true.
Other people trust me. In fact, they rely on me. My professors, Dr. Goodwin, even that old fossil Grog. They think I'm destined for greatness. They believe in me.
I believe in you.
I gotta go, Mom.
I miss you!
Gwen looks up to see an older couple.
The birdies. They've all flown away. I just hope they come back soon.
In Dylan's dorm, he moves in sped-up motion.
We can't just leave him like this. We need help.
Marnie, wait, where are you going?
To get another witch. There's 3 of us. We can do this.
No, we can't.
I know it's against the rules and we could all get expelled, but this is Dylan we're talking about.
Marnie, I can't help you.
You can't or you won't.
Marnie, it's complicated.
No, it's not. It's simple. I thought you were my friend.
Marnie, they're using you. Grog and Goodwin.
Marnie squints.
They're a part of this secret club my dad used to belong to. They're these 7 witches who call themselves the Dominion. They're plotting to use you and your magic to take over Halloween Town and make slaves out of all the other creatures. They want to rule Halloween Town.
No, you're wrong. They're the good guys. Unlike you, Ethan.
She strides past him. Marnie leaves the building wearing a red cloak over her outfit. A stone gargoyle's head turns as she walks down the stairs. In a field, Professor Periwinkle approaches Marnie.
Professor Periwinkle, thank you so much for meeting me off campus. I needed us to be alone. I have to talk to Splendora, and I need your help to travel back in time.
Talk to her about what?
About this ancient prophecy and this silver box and dark forces.
And the future of Halloween Town?
Yes.
Oh, then you are ready.
I think so. I just don't trust anyone else to help me.
I know time travel is some serious magic, and I don't want to get you in trouble.
Oh, fiddlesticks. I live for trouble, dearie.
Marnie smiles.
Shall we?
Marnie nods. They press their palms together, then part them in a downward arc. A colorful portal appears.
Good luck, Marnie.
Marnie's form becomes dust-like as she steps into the portal. The small shapes reassemble as she emerges onto a tree-lined path at night. She looks around the area.
Okay, right place. Hopefully it's the right time. Excuse me!
A skeleton in rags drives a horse-drawn hay cart.
Benny?
Benjamin C. Deadman at your service, miss. But Benny does have a nice ring to it now.
I'm looking for a witch named Splendora Cromwell.
In truth, you know the great lady?
Absolutely. Can you give me a ride?
Do I seem like some sort of taxi service to you?
Not yet, but you will.
Fortune teller, huh? Hop on!
She climbs onto the cart beside him.
What does a skeleton say before he eats? Bon appetit!
A 1,000 years to work on those jokes, and they still stink.
At night, the moon hangs beside the Witch University castle.
Cromwell Castle, miss! Home of the great Splendora Cromwell!
Marnie gets off the cart.
Enjoy your stay in Halloween Town!
She turns back.
Thanks, Benny.
She regards a bustling town square. Monsters in rags and shackles push the wooden spokes of a giant wheel. A bandaged monster works a loom.
This is Halloween Town?
She gazes at Cromwell Castle. Warm light glows from numerous windows set into the gray stone. Marnie observes the various monsters. A young, dark-haired woman juggles fruit.
Buy some fresh fruit for the coronation!
She trips. A box of fruit falls.
Careful, Periwinkle!
Oh, fiddlesticks!
The dark-haired young Periwinkle kneels to pick up fallen fruit. Marnie approaches.
Professor Periwinkle? Sir! Name's Persimmon, miss. Just a poor fruit monger. Don't know no professor now, but I'm not like some of the uneducated dopes around here. I can read. I know. You teach Shakespeare. Who? Oh, yeah. He hasn't been born yet. I need your help. I need to find my cousin, Splendora Cromwell.
Young Periwinkle rises and wipes her hands on her apron.
Future Queen of Halloween Town's getting ready for a coronation.
Town, our future queen!
Escorted by cloaked figures, a blonde woman resembling Marnie enters the town square.
Queen Splendora.
Young Periwinkle points.
Wow, she looks just like you.
Marnie shrugs.
Splendora, we need to talk. Look, I just need a minute.
An old blonde woman freezes her. The old woman and the cloaked figures surround Marnie. Within a translucent aura, Marnie looks down and tries to move.
Oh, strange magic, this. She has the appearance of the queen, but she smells of mortal. Smite her.
No, no smiting. I need your help.
Oh. Marnie slips out of the aura and rushes forward. Splendora looks over her shoulder.
Be gone!
The old woman spells Marnie into a prison cell.
I said no smiting! And no throwing in the hoosegow!
In Marnie's cell.
Professor Periwinkle.
Marnie approaches her.
What's going on?
Splendora has locked herself in a room and will not show herself for the coronation.
Which room?
Her bedroom. In the tower there.
Marnie follows her gaze.
I know just where that is.
She extends her hand.
Help me.
Young Periwinkle does the same.
Aviatus.
Marnie disappears. Her cloak drops to the floor.
You forgot your cloak! Fiddlesticks.
Marnie materializes in Splendora's bedroom.
Splendora's room is my dorm? Wow, I wonder what they give you when you're a sophomore.
Marnie spots something. The silver box sits on Splendora's desk. She steps over to the desk and grabs the box. The lid remains shut. She grimaces.
Keeps.
She moves the box aside and sees a silver key beneath it on the desk. Marnie picks up the key in slow motion. She inserts it into the lock on the front of the box. She opens the box to reveal an empty interior.
She hasn't used the box. Splendora still has the gift, whether she wants it or not.
Marnie spins around. Splendora regards her.
You must be of my family. I put an enchantment of protection upon this room and everything that is in it. Only a Cromwell would be allowed inside. I am a Cromwell. Indeed. How is it we have never met? I'm from the future. Oh, indeed. That would explain the clothes. Well, we can't all have a royal dresser. Look, I'm here because I need whatever it is you're about to lock in that box. Do you speak of this? That's the gift? This amulet was handed down to me by my mother, and her mother before her, and so back to the beginning time. Cromwell, who wears this, 'tis indeed gifted with a very special old power. Power I would not wish upon anyone. You could so wish it on me. Do you understand what this great power is? No, not exactly. Mark this. In this amulet is the power of absolute control. With it, I can will anyone to do anything. I can control hearts and minds. And you don't want that? Our powers are to be used for good, to help people. Halloween Town is a refuge for all kinds of magical creatures. Those seven witches call themselves the Dominion for a reason. They want to use me and my gift. To rule Halloween Town and turn everyone else into slaves. Ethan was telling the truth. 'Tis truly sad when a few people force their views on everyone else. My mom says that. Then she is wise. Tonight, they will crown me their queen, and I do not wish to be queen. Even my father said King Arthur hated the whole royalty thing. Your father knew King Arthur? In truth. Was your father Merlin? No, Marvin, Merlin's cousin.
Splendora!
I have made my decision.
Come out here
now! Tonight, I will lock away this terrible power forever. Okay, I totally understand, but before you do that, could I just borrow it real quick? No, why not? Because, man, you're selfish.
Silence.
Marnie's lips pinch closed.
Dance.
Marnie dances.
Shake. Stop. Adorn.
Marnie kneels and gazes at her.
This gift is a curse. With one word, I could make you my slave. This power can tempt even a good witch to dark deeds.
Splendora, you must come out. We must prepare you for your coronation.
Outside the room, the old woman shoos a nearby woman away.
Splendora!
Why don't you just destroy the amulet? I cannot. Three Cromwells created the amulet. And only the power of three Cromwells will destroy it.
Splendora Agatha Cromwell!
Did she just say Agatha? 'Tis my middle name. I loathe the Splendora part. When all this is over, I will become just plain Aggie Cromwell. You're Aggie Cromwell?
Splendora nods.
You do have a future. You'll have loyal friends, just like that fruit lady. And you'll be a great person and a good witch and a beloved grandmother. Grandmother? Whose grandmother? Mine. Well, if you are my granddaughter, then my future is bright indeed.
Marnie's eyes shine.
Insolent girl! Guards!
Splendora stands.
You two! You! Now, get up to Splendora's room and bring her out by whatever means necessary. Go! Quickly!
Splendora opens the silver box. She removes her necklace with the red amulet and places it inside. She shuts the lid and locks it.
There's only one safe place to hide this key.
Marnie steps closer.
The future. I thought you said the power could turn even a good witch bad. I trust you, Marnie. After all, I'm going to train you myself.
Marnie grips the key.
Shall we?
They cast a portal into the air together.
See you in 1,000 years, Grandma. Oh, there's something you'll be needing.
Marnie makes the giant Halloween Town jack-o'-lantern appear in the room. Splendora eyes it.
Bye, Grandma.
Marnie steps into the portal and dematerializes. Splendora makes the portal vanish. Splendora walks past the jack-o'-lantern and opens the door to two guards.
Hello, boys. Take this outside, will you?
Splendora saunters out. In the present, the portal deposits Marnie in her dorm room. She holds the key in her palm. She takes the silver box out from a cabinet and places it on her desk. She inserts the key. She opens the box. Splendora's amulet sits inside. As Marnie holds it up by its black necklace, the red gem shines.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Why don't you just let me hold on to that so it doesn't fall into the wrong hands?
It's a Cromwell family heirloom.
Dr. Goodwin scowls and summons the necklace into her hand.
I don't think you've been very responsible, Marnie. Skipping all those classes.
What?
You got here just in time. It's Halloween.
I thought you needed me to save Halloween Town.
We do. In just a few hours.
What makes you think I'll stick around?
You wouldn't leave here without your brother, would you?
Dr. Goodwin snaps her fingers and disappears.
Dylan!
Outside by a stone wall.
Marnie, oh my goodness. It's only a few hours until the party begins, and I really need help with the fondue cart.
Drool check. Have you seen my brother?
Nope. Marnie, where have you been? I've been looking everywhere for you.
Field trip. Ethan, I'm so sorry. You were right about the Dominion, about everything. We need to find Dylan.
I already did.
At a party, students dance. Scarlet's sisters take cooked drumsticks from a tray that Dylan carries. A sign reads, Private Party, Witches and Warlocks Only. Marnie steps through a gold force field, followed by Anissa and Ethan.
Daddy says after tonight, this is what the whole world will look like. Us versus those things.
Scarlet scowls. Marnie taps her shoulder.
Having fun, Scarlet? Not really. The service here stinks.
Dylan lifts an enormous bowl.
Pudding, Scarlet?
As Scarlet's eyes glow red, a banana peel appears on the floor. Dylan slips, the pudding landing all over him. Ethan approaches Dylan.
Why are you using him like this?
Oh, we're not using him. We're using you.
Whatever you're doing, it's over.
Not yet.
Scarlet turns to her sisters. The three raise their hands in the air and send out beams of light. They converge and strike Dylan. He morphs into a dog. Marnie gapes.
Fetch!
One of the sisters tosses her drumstick into Dylan's mouth. He flees.
Dylan! Wait! Dylan, stop!
Marnie chases Dylan out of the building and down a set of stairs.
Here, boy! Dylan, heel!
He races across the grass towards a series of tents. Marnie staggers to a stop and puts her hands on her hips. She tilts her head back to look at the sky.
Mom! I need you.
Marnie lowers her head and pouts.
I thought you'd never call.
Marnie smiles and steps into Gwen's embrace. They hug tightly.
I really messed up. Well, you mess up sometimes.
That's how you learn. Just this week, I blew a big sail by talking to a bird bath.
But here at Witch University, all mess-ups become permanent.
At midnight, I know. I read the handbook.
I thought I could do this alone.
Well, I'm here now, and what do I always say?
We're stronger together.
Her mother nods, then glances down. She steps back and rolls her eyes. The clothes change from a blue jacket and beige pants into a red silk jacket and black skirt as she turns. Gwen smiles.
Nice.
Marnie takes her hand at night.
I wish there was something I could do, Marnie. The celebration's about to begin.
No one's seen the Sinister Girls or Dylan.
Have you checked the pound?
Oh, that's not funny.
Ethan's out searching for him.
Let me see this prophecy again. Okay, the first millennium. It's the Halloween moon. We'll find peace under her dominion.
The Dominion! That's what they call themselves, and Dr. Goodwin is one of them. I trusted her. All of this, the nice dorm room, the scholarship. How could I have been so stupid?
You are not stupid, Marnie. You are 18. Do you have a witch's glass?
Marnie goes to her laptop.
Grandma gave it to me.
so I can multitask.
Okay, let's use this and find Dylan.
Illumina Obscuratio!
Footage of Dylan in a cage appears on screen.
Oh, Dylan.
Where is he?
Oh. What's that on the lock?
Marnie peers closer.
It's an S.
As in sinister.
The snake-like S glows and sucks Marnie through the screen. The laptop screen goes black. Marnie materializes in the parlor next to Dylan's cage.
Dylan! Where'd you find him?
We had help.
Marnie, I'm sorry.
You're working with them?
No.
Oh, yes, he was. He just didn't know it. Ethan found your brother, and we found Ethan.
Let them go.
Oh, I will. As soon as Marnie agrees to work with us.
Marnie opens her bracelet behind her back to contact her mother.
What do you want from me?
It's quite simple. Do what your silly grandmother would not.
Wear the amulet. Use the Cromwell gift.
You mean turn all those inferior creatures into slaves so the Dominion can rule Halloween Town?
You make things sound so sinister, Marnie. We'll bring order to this place. Together we'll use the power to make things run much more smoothly. It will all be so much easier for everyone when the Dominion is in charge.
And you want me to be your queen?
Only for one night.
One night?
Tonight at the celebration, you'll use the gift to cast a spell, establishing the rule of the Dominion over Halloween Town. A spell which will, of course, become permanent at the stroke of midnight.
After that, we won't need you anymore.
Well, I won't do it.
You insolent girl!
Do you want your brother to lap water from a toilet for the rest of his life? All we have to do is keep him that way until midnight, and he will be in the doghouse. Permanently.
Fine. I'll do it.
Marnie.
But I'm going to need time to get ready. After all, a girl's only queen for a night once. I want my best friend Anissa to be my royal dresser. I will hang out in her room, do my hair, and I'll wear a dress so I can act the part.
In Marnie's room, Gwen shuts her witch's glass. She eyes Anissa, who blows into the air. Purple smoke surrounds them, then slips under the door. In the parlor.
It is my wish.
Absolutely, my queen. Absolutely.
Ethan, make sure Dylan is in the courtyard before midnight.
We'll be there.
Beam me up, Jeannie.
Anissa's purple smoke engulfs Marnie, then leaves through a window. At the Halloween celebration, Ethan leads Dylan on a leash.
Come on, Dylan. We have 3 minutes. I know, it's gonna be fine.
The Sinister Sisters wear evening gowns.
Do you see them anywhere?
No.
Gwen and Anissa move through the crowd together. Ethan pets Dylan.
Dylan!
Dylan,
I swear to you. Oh, I promise you we will get you out of this.
Oh my God, really.
Ethan stares up at the castle with parted lips. He moves towards it. Above, Marnie steps onto a stone balcony with Silas, Dr. Goodwin, and Dr. Grog. She wears a crown.
It's almost midnight.
Prepare to receive the gift.
Change Dylan back now, or no deal.
Dr. Goodwin's lips tense.
Yes, my queen. By the power of three!
Silas and the two doctors shoot beams of light into the air. They join together and shoot at Dylan, who morphs back into a human.
Opposable thumbs. Thank you.
Are you okay, honey?
I'm fine, Mom. But I think I'll just sit and stay.
Okay, just don't roll over. Not yet.
Gwen stands.
Marnie Piper, granddaughter of Splendora Agatha Cromwell. Take on your gift and fulfill the prophecy.
Marnie lowers her gaze. Dr. Goodwin holds the necklace. She leans closer to Marnie.
After tonight, you'll be free to use your power as you wish. You will be the greatest witch in the world. Isn't that what you've always wanted? Isn't that why you came here?
Yes. I'm ready to receive the gift.
Dr. Grog smirks.
Citizens of Halloween Town!
Behold! I give you your queen!
Dr. Goodwin puts the amulet around Marnie's neck. As a clock in a tower strikes 12, the amulet pulses.
Queen Cromwell, grace us with a display of your power. Use your gift.
Citizens of Halloween Town, I now possess the power to make you my slaves and bend you to my will. Exodus, Imperium!
She shoots red energy at her mom and brother.
Yes, my queen! I just say that?
Gwen and Dylan glow red.
For the power of the Dominion, do as I command!
Energy strikes Anissa.
For you, my queen!
She lifts her genie lamp.
Now, Anissa!
Silas furrows his brow. Anissa blows purple smoke out of her mouth, and soars up to the balcony and snatches the amulet from around Marnie's neck. The smoke takes the necklace inside of Anissa's genie lamp.
By the power of three, I command you to destroy the gift forever!
No!
Anissa tosses the lamp into the air and sails upwards towards Marnie. Marnie, Gwen, and Dylan shoot energy at the lamp. A bright light pulses from the lamp over the crowd, then dissolves into fireworks. Ethan beams. Silas, Dr. Goodwin, and Dr. Grog flee. Gwen hugs Dylan.
Happy Halloween!
As the Dominion members start to flee past the gargoyles, a ring of energy holds them fast.
Good job, boys!
This is ridiculous.
Persimmon Periwinkle,
Agent Periwinkle of the Halloween Town Anti-Dominion League.
Preposterous.
What's preposterous is how long I've been undercover. 10 centuries. You are all hereby stripped of your magic powers and are under arrest for treason.
Professor Periwinkle holds up a witch's glass. Silas, Grog, Goodwin, and the others disappear inside it. At the celebration.
So, your gift is gone forever. No, it's not. My gift is and always will be you.
They hug.
Man, this family is so mushy.
Gwen taps him.
Just don't lick my face.
Marnie holds out her arms. Dylan hugs her. Spotlights shine over the school. Marnie approaches Anissa.
Sorry about your lamp. I was gonna redecorate anyway. You know, I'm looking for a roommate.
Really?
Yeah, I have a really big room. It was originally built for a queen, you know. Hey.
You know, I really hoped you two had moved past monosyllables.
Anissa points off.
I think I'll go help.
She steps over to the troll.
What you did, giving up that power.
You probably think it was stupid.
Stupid? I think it's amazing. Power isn't important to me.
What kind of warlock doesn't like power?
The mortal kind.
Her smile fades.
When my dad tried to steal your family's magic, the council took his powers. And I renounced mine. I can't do magic. I can't fly on a broom or any other cleaning instrument. Those flowers I gave you, that was just a trick I learned from some book. I'm immortal now, Marnie. I should have told you. I'm sorry.
He walks off.
Ethan Dalloway? Yep.
What's up, man?
Huh. Hey. He's mortal now. Oh, I knew there was something I liked about that kid.
Hey, Scarlet!
The sisters approach Ethan.
I think you owe my boy Dylan here an apology.
Excuse me? If anything, you should apologize to me. I wasted a whole month of college on that toad. Ooh, join me a little sinister magic, sisters.
The sisters repeatedly snap their fingers. Dylan smirks.
My magic. It's gone.
Yours, your father's, your whole family's, actually.
I don't get it. We're mortal, Dumbbell. We might as well be ugly.
Oh. It is comforting to know that you will have such good friends for the next 4 years.
So you're saying I can stay?
Clearly, I don't control you. Just promise me that you will call home more often.
I promise. I love you, Mom.
Gwen hugs her. In the distance, Ethan waves to someone. Breaking away from her mom, Marnie heads over.
Hey.
Hey.
Marnie's gaze shifts. She conjures a bouquet of flowers behind her back and presents them to him. She grins as he takes them. They gaze at one another. Dylan approaches Gwen.
Mom, are you watching them?
What? No, because then that would be spying. Something on your mind?
Yeah. The amulet. I can't believe Marnie actually destroyed it.
Well, you saw the fireworks.
But it was a precious Cromwell heirloom. It belonged to Grandma Aggie.
And knowing Marnie, she probably would have done something a little more interesting with it.
Like what, hid it someplace?
Or gave it to someone that she trusts absolutely.
Dylan cocks his head. They watch Ethan and Marnie leave with their arms around each other. In his dorm room, Dylan writes in a notebook. He puts his pen down, grabs a book off a stack, and flips it open to the middle. Splendor's necklace rests within hollowed-out pages inside the book. He picks it up, and it glows red.
Oh, boy.
Dylan glances around. He returns the necklace to the book and closes it. He slips the book onto a shelf amongst others. Red light glows from the letter S on the spine, then fades. As Dylan resumes writing, the door to his room swings shut. Cut to black. Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Marcia Bartonetti.